road signs. What is your favorite road sign? Now, it might mean it's one of those on the side of the highway that says restaurants, right? When we think road signs, we don't always think restaurants. But, I mean, you're going down the highway and it says exit whatever, and it's got like Denny's and McDonald's. Which am I going to choose? Okay, you go through those kind of things. Road signs. But then you've got the traffic signs. So we've got all sorts of different traffic signs. Which is your least favorite traffic sign? Okay, the speed limit. How many of you say speed limit right there? There it is, right? Now, there is talk in the state of Michigan of raising the speed limits. I don't know if any of you heard that. I know that I believe it's been passed, and they're just waiting on a lot of road studies and engineering studies. I think the speed limit on the highways is going up to like 75, and back roads up to, 60 or 65, something like maybe 80. I don't know. I think if they raised it at all at M106, I think it's going to go up to 80 because everybody's just going to do 80. But speed limits, we've got stop signs, we've got go signs, right? I mean, the light, the green light, red light, yellow light on the stop signs. We've got the red blinkers, the yellow blinkers. We've got yield signs. We've got all sorts of traffic circles, right? We're getting lots of traffic circles now, and you've got a traffic circle. Third exit. Well, that means I got to go straight then, right? It's just like, okay, so what am I supposed to do here? Traffic signs. But one that can be, one that sometimes people treat the stop sign, right? They call it as a Michigan stop, right? It's, you kind of keep going. I've got Pastor Bob pointing fingers there. So you keep, it must have been at Clint. Clint, it must have been you he was pointing at. The stop sign, some people treat that as what? A yield, right? No one's coming. I can keep going. And especially on back roads, sometimes people do that. Railroad crossings. No train is coming. I'm just going to fly through it and see how much air I can get off of that the railroad track there. But we think about the different traffic signs. And what I wanted to talk about this morning, and if you remember back to our scripture reading, it is what? Yield, right? Our yield. And yield gives us the idea that, yes, I can keep going unless there's something to stop me. You know, I'm driving along and I'm turning right, and there's kind of this extra lane there, and I can turn right so long as nobody else is coming. I can yield. And they've got yield signs at different locations. The idea of yielding is I'm watching out for the next person who has priority over me. And as I think about my life, I must yield to one other than me. I can continue on living life so long as God says it's okay. So long as God says, you keep going in the direction you're going and what's going on in life, I must constantly be yielding to God. Not once in a while, not once for salvation. Not a couple times of, okay, so I'll follow in believer's baptism and I'll obey in this aspect, but beyond that, this is my life. Now, God says, I want you to consistently yield for victory. The only way we can have victory in our lives, an ongoing victory, is by yielding to God. And that's what the children of Israel are going through. Joshua chapter 5 is where we'll be this morning. Joshua chapter 5, we see that the children of Israel are continuing on in this yielding process, yielding to God for continued victory. They've been preparing. And we've talked about their preparations for victory. We've talked about them watching and following God. And I trust most of you know our memory verse for today. We'll go over that one more, or for this month, we'll go over that one more time. And that'll be this evening in our service, Joshua 1:8. In fact, why don't we go ahead and say that right now? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How is that? By yielding to God and His Word. And that's been our focus in our memory verse, but that's what we're going to see this morning in Joshua chapter 5. We must yield to God. You have plans for this week, but is that what God wants? You have plans for life, is that what God wants? Some of you young people, you know what you're going to do for college or where you're going to go or what you want to do after college, but is that what God wants? Even as I was praying about Bible college years ago when I was in high school, I was pretty convinced I was going to a certain college. But God just really challenged me that I needed to yield to Him and say, God, I am willing to go where You want me to go. And it doesn't matter what decision it is in life, God wants us to constantly yield to Him. Constantly yielding to God. And that is the only way for victory. The children of Israel, they have prepared for victory. They have done all sorts of things. And we saw in chapter 4, as they were crossing the Jordan, and chapter 3 and chapter 4 as they were preparing. Chapter 5. And we see this aspect of yielding to God continually for victory. Here they are. They've made it across. They're ready for battle. And does that mean we're all good and set? Now we can just live life. No, it's a constant yieldedness. And we see that as they face some of the battles as in the next few chapters. And we see some of the things that go on and are happening, that there's a constant yieldedness that must happen. And if it doesn't, sin is in the camp. And if it doesn't, there is consequences. And we'll look at that as a whole when it comes with Achan and his sin. But the reality is, we grow together this year as a church family. We must individually and corporately or collectively yield to God. Are you yielded? Are you willing for God to point out sin in your life? We're talking about that on Sunday evening. Sin. It's not fun. It's not a fun topic. How many of you love sin? Well, sin is fun, right? But we hate sin because of the consequences that it gets, and it's only fun for a season and thing after thing. But the reality is, you and I must yield to God right now. And who says it's easier to yield to God on a Sunday morning than it is on a Monday night? Right? Because we're all together. We've got positive peer pressure here. I want to please God, and I've got a lot of people watching me. Man, I'm not going to yell at my family member at church time. I might 5 minutes before we get here, but not when we get here. The reality is, I've got to constantly, consistently yield to God, because it's not always easy to obey. But with God, all things are possible. And that's what God is reminding the children of Israel. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. Would You help us to be challenged with our continual need for yielding to You? God, point out areas in our lives that we need to yield to You instead of running ahead. That, God, we need to wait on You and yield for Your direction. Yield so that You can help us to live victorious lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan, westward. So again, we've got the east and the west. They crossed over the Jordan. And now they're on the which side of the Jordan River? The west side. Okay, so they're on the west side of the Jordan River. So he's saying, all these which were on the west side, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. We're reminded in verse 1 that God is all-powerful, and that God is in control, and that God has done great things for us. A song, I think I might have sung it, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He cannot fail, His word is true, we're trusting Him, He'll see us through. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And so we're reminded here, and Joshua and the children of Israel are reminded, man, great things have happened. These people are scared because they've seen God work. And we don't want our neighbors, we don't want our coworkers to be scared of us. But the reality is, these people weren't scared of the children of Israel. They were scared because they watched God work. And they knew that it was only God who was working. Is that how much God is working in and through your life? And that He can see, people around you can see the great power of God, and it's only God who does this, and it's only God who does that, and it's God who does it. I mean, it's God. It's God. How does that happen? As we continue to yield to God. Children of Israel, one thing after another, they were told, and they were yielding at this point, and as they were preparing for this whole crossing of the Jordan with the spies, and sending the spies and the report and obeying, and one thing after another, they're yielding to God. And now we say, God has done great things. So now we can just continue on in the way we've gone. Yes, but there must be constantly a yielding to God. As we grow together, as we prepare for God to do great things, and we don't know what they are, but God has great things in store for Jeru Baptist Church. And as we continue to strive for God to do only what God can do. There must be a consistent yieldedness on not just our church's part. Sometimes we think of the church as a whole, but on our parts as individual believers in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the different people of yieldedness, or the people of preparation, people of yieldedness through this chapter today. And we're reminded that there's individual yieldedness. There's family yieldedness. There's the leader's yieldedness. There's the collective yieldedness as they do this individually. So we saw in verse 1 that the neighboring people there were afraid because of what God did, which is a great place to be, that people see God in us. Matthew were reminded that people would behold our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Look at verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And this had already happened, and you remember reading the Bible before, and you see another time where this happened. Verse 3, and Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins, and this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked how many years? 40. They walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in the stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it goes on, verse 8, and there was this time of rest, but there was the point of individual yieldedness to God. For God to continue using the children of Israel as a whole, as a nation, and the plans that he had for them, there was individual responsibility of being yielded to God. At one point they were circumcised, and here then they weren't for many years, and now it's okay, it is time. There's the individual yieldedness to God. I don't know what it is in your life, but are you individually yielded to what God has for you? And how God wants you to live? Sacrifices, challenges that he wants you to make and say, okay, God, I'm willing to give this up. I'm willing to follow you in this area and in this way and do what you want me to do and live how you want me to live. The yieldedness to God. Continual yieldedness. But then we see more than just this continual yieldedness individually, but it was everybody doing it. Again, remember I just said, how many of you think it's easier to yield to God on a Sunday morning than on a Monday night? Because there's that positive peer pressure. I hope you'll read that handout that we put in your box, or that's out on the table if you didn't get one in your box, that you would grab that and read that and see what is church. It's not a Sunday morning social club. There's a reason we have Sunday evening service. There's a reason we have midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. We are as a church in that positive peer pressure as we grow together in godliness. And as we yield to God, and we're reminded as we gather together, hey, we can yield to God. You can keep going. Sunday's around the corner and we'll get together and have that positive peer pressure as we get to corporately worship God again, and just great opportunities. And I understand not all of you can make it to all of the services, but I just want to challenge you, strive to. There's this positive aspect as, yes, individual yieldedness, but they all were doing it. As you yield to God for your life tomorrow, let's remember that there are others here yielding to God tomorrow. Whatever temptations come your way, yield to God. Whatever discouragements and distractions come your way, yield to God. That God is real and that you can yield to him tomorrow. Yield to God individually. And we see that aspect of what they were doing. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the, what? Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So there's individual yieldedness. Individuals had to yield to God. Everybody was doing it. Sometimes people say, well, everybody's doing it, so that's how I'm going to live my life. That's why one reason why it's important to be around God-fearing people and people who want to live for God. They're living for God. They're standing up. I can do it too. And that's the children of Israel. They're being circumcised. I can do right. I can be separated unto godliness. But it wasn't just enough for the individuals to be yielded. But then we see the families were yielded. The families were yielded. How many of you have a family? Three of you don't, right? Okay, so... And going through this. So our corporate yieldedness altogether, collectively, has different responsibilities individually, but as a family as well. The families in the Passover time. So what did they have to do with the Passover? They had to take a lamb, they had to sacrifice it, they had to eat it in their house and their family. And I mean, just a special time of remembering what God had done with freeing them from what? Egypt. And the great blessings of God. Last week we talked about setting up memorials, and they were setting up memorial stones of what God had done and crossing them over the Jordan. Well, this is one of those annual celebrations as they were to remember what God had done to free them from Egypt and how God worked and how God would work. And so here they're taking this time, and they are, as a family, yielding and setting aside time for God. But we're too busy. You don't know our schedule. Over the weekend, yeah, many of you know we were back in Muskegon as we had to close on our house. Praise the Lord. That closed on Friday, and we were able to get back over here last evening. And I'm just thankful for that. But one of the books I read, one of our girls, I think it was Leah, asked me. We were spending some time at my parents'. They let us sleep there. So we spent some time over there. There was a Bernstein Bear book. How many of you like Bernstein Bears? Okay, it's all the adults who are raising their hands. Okay, we like Bernstein Bears. Well, this one Bernstein Bear book really was going through this idea of what am I going to do? Are we going to take time? And so here we've got the children of Israel. They're taking time, setting aside time as a family out of their busy schedules. Well, the Bernstein Bears, they got so busy, the kids got doing this and this and this and that and the other, and they're just like, they have no time to breathe. You ever feel like that? And yet God wants us to take time out of our busy schedules. Technology is supposed to make our lives easier, and it only makes it busier, right? Because now you've got this and that and the other device that someone's trying to contact you on. They can't get a hold of you by cell phone, so they're going to text you, and then they Facebook message you, and then they, whatever else it is, because they really want to talk to you. I mean, it's just life gets busy and busy. We've got to take time as a family to breathe. And not just say, we're going to do nothing and veg out, but time as a family to serve God. Family yieldedness. Parents, are you teaching your kids that as a family we can take time for God? That we can take time, and as a family we are going to live for God. We're not just going to tack Him onto our life because we want His blessing. But the family yieldedness, and that's what the children of Israel are doing here. As families, they're celebrating the Passover, remembering all that God has done. Which meant it took time for the parents to teach the kids. And remember, even last week as we were talking in Joshua 4, setting up these memorial stones, so that when your kids ask, you have an answer. And you can remind them of what God has done. Taking time as a family, whether your kids are grown up or not. think of some times, some family gatherings. Are there times that you can praise God and take time as a family for God? What about Thanksgiving? Just a fun time of food and family? But it's a great opportunity as a family to set aside even just a few minutes that day to praise God together. Christmas, it's all about the gifts and the stress of that and the food and everything. I mean, we've gone through all that, but time to remember it's all about Christ and taking time as a family. As we go through the week, why is it Sunday mornings we gather? Because the work week is Monday through Friday, and sometimes we have to work Saturday. And so Sunday's church day. So we just make sure we go. There's reasons why we gather together on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can look at those things. But the importance of what we do and teaching our kids why we take time for God, family yieldedness. Parents, your kids need to see that you are yielded to God as well, whether your kids live at home or not. God is my priority. And that's what these families are teaching their families and passing on to generations. And now we know as we continue on in the nation of Israel, they didn't always pass it on to generation, did they? But the only way for my grandkids someday to want to live for God and please God is, yes, their parents to teach them, and God can work without that, but that means, you know what, I have to teach my kids so they can teach their kids, so they can teach their kids as long as the Lord tarries his coming. Family yieldedness. Is that what your kids are picking up? Are they spending that time? Are you spending that time as a family yielding to God and what he has got for your family? God's got a plan. There's that individual yieldedness. There's that family yieldedness and the importance of that and how God works. Look at verse number 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Again, we saw individual yieldedness. We saw family yieldedness. But you know, there has to be a leadership yieldedness. And as much as God has called me to pastor Jerusalem Baptist Church, and I had better be yielded to God every day, I'm not the only leader that God has put in place here at the church. Who are some other leaders that we have? We've got deacons. We've got Sunday school teachers. We've got club leaders. You say, well, man, I just work in the verse time. You're a leader. And whatever area you're serving, you are leading others. Are you focusing as a leader on being yielded to God? The only way we're going to grow together this year as a church family is as, yes, our individuals and our families, but our leaders are yielded unto God. Saying, God, man, I don't want to teach. I don't want to be involved with this area of ministry without you being in control and guiding my life and helping me to be that leader I need to be. Joshua is meeting here and taking time alone. Look at what he's, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And what does the very next phrase say? And Joshua what? Went. He didn't have to go. He saw a man, he could have just said, okay, so we're going to watch him and see what he does. Right? I mean, they're getting ready for battle. We're going to see what's going on here. But he was bold and he went. And here he says, so are you for us or against us? Captain of the host of the Lord. I mean, so here's this individual time. One, he went by himself. He went and made priority to go. He didn't know everything. But verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Taking time alone as a leader to make priorities and to be with God, to meet with God, to set aside things in my life. We're reminded Moses with the fiery bush. take off your shoes for that you're standing on holy ground as he met with God. Whatever area of leadership you're involved in, are you taking that time daily to yield to God and say, God, you've entrusted me with this task to lead here. You've entrusted me with these people, whether they're kindergarteners or whether they're adults. God, would you help me to yield to you and listen to you and how you want me to serve and how you want me to invest in their lives and what you want me to do? Because then we're going to come down to chapter 6. And we are going to see that as the children of Israel were continued to be yielded, that God brought great victory into their lives. And that God continued on his plan for them to use them. We don't know what God's plans are for Jerusalem Baptist Church. We know some things. We know that God wants to see people in Munith and Stockbridge and Gregory and all the surrounding areas come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We know another thing is that he wants to use you to see that accomplished. We know that 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that how you live is going to affect the Great Commission and how you're sharing the gospel with others around you. So there's that point of individual yieldedness. God, would you point out my sin? What is propitiation? Come, we'll talk about it. God, would you point out my sin so that I can get right with you? God, would you show me what areas I need to yield to you in that I'm not yielded to you right now? How about family yieldedness? Taking time as a family to surrender to God. Saying, God, this is our family. Commit it to you. Maybe you've got kids at home yet and you say, God, these are our kids. Help us to raise them for you. Help them to see that you are a priority in our lives. And maybe there are things we can do to help them see that even more. Well, how about your grown kids that you can yield to God and be that example and testimony as parents, even to grown children, of the work that God's doing in your life, being yielded as a family and being yielded as a leader. We're all leaders, but there's some specifically that God has given leadership roles here at church. Are you yielded to God? Are you just doing it because you've always done it? It's easy just to keep doing because we've done. But God did not want the children of Israel to just keep doing because they've crossed over and God brought them here and God did this, so they're just going to keep doing. He said, I want you to yield to me. So are you yielded? You go home today, you're going to see a stop sign. At least somewhere. Some of you might even see a blinker light. Some of you probably see a stop sign or the stop lights, red, yellow, green. Maybe you'll see a yielded sign. But as we go through everyday life, would you be challenged with the thought, God, help me to yield to you. Help my family to yield to you. Would you pray for our church leaders that we would all yield to God too? Because Satan does not want us to yield. Because it's when we yield that God does great things. And that's what we see and we're going to look at next week in chapter 6. God will do great things with the children of Israel. Are you yielded? What area do you need to yield to God? Father, we thank you for your love. God, you've challenged us. We've looked at your word. We see that you want us to yield. God, it's not always easy. God, there are things in our lives that means we have to step aside from and yield to you. There are things that Satan wants to use to distract us from you. Help us to yield to you. Would you make a difference in our individual lives, in our family lives, in the leaders in our church? Because God, as we grow together this year, we sure want you to be glorified. We know you've got great plans. But it's something that only you can accomplish as we yield to you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Josh, I've never yielded to God, even in this area of salvation. We've heard a lot about it. I've been here before. I just know I'm not saved. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I've never asked him to. Anybody at all with an uplifted hand say, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I need to be saved today and yield to God in that area. God wants to save you. I don't see any hands. I trust you're saved. You know Jesus is Savior. So for those of you who do, are you yielded to God individually? Are there things in your life that God says, I don't want you to have that? I want you to step aside from that. Are there things in your family that God says, man, yield this in your family? Maybe you're a leader. Are you yielded to God in your area of leadership? Would you just say, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? God has challenged me with a specific area in my life, and I want to yield to Him today. Anybody at all, just Pastor Josh, would you pray? Amen. 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 Praise God. Would you let God work? Would you yield your heart to Him? We're going to stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe you want to come down front and say, God, would you help me to yield in this area? I commit it to you. Maybe it's right there. You just want to pray and say, God, help me to yield to you this week. Make a difference in my life. This is a time of silent prayer before the Lord.